Everyone's asleep.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. Very soon, the time zones will be changing, I think on September the 30th, so at the end of this week. Next week, the time we will be broadcasting will be different for those in the Southern Hemisphere, the same for those in the Northern Hemisphere, so it'll be 11 a.m. till 1 p.m. New Zealand time. And I think that'll go for the listeners in Aussie and South America and anywhere else. It's in the Southern Hemisphere as well. Until the time zone changes in November the 4th in America, I believe, and then the show will be pushed back to midday till 2 p.m., which is good because I've been – ooh, man, I need to be able to sleep in, honestly. Even getting up and doing the show at 10 a.m. is a little bit of a pain because I'm always up late working on stuff. And it's like, you know, it's tough. It's tough. All right. Speaking of things that are tough, the New Zealand Prime Minister facing prosecution for smiling. did I say smiling? I meant spying. Okay. New Zealand's Prime Minister, John Key, this is from Daily News New Zealand, by the way, dnews.co.nz. New Zealand's Prime Minister, John Key, is facing prosecution in court after it was revealed his department spied on more than 80 New Zealanders illegally. The head of the New Zealand Private Prosecution Service, Graham McCreedy, has filed charges against Mr. Key and GCSB head Ian Fletcher under the Crimes Act. McCreedy's also prosecuting, I think, former Mayor of Auckland, John Banks, for taking donations that he did not declare from MrKim.com. So you've got the Prime Minister being corrupt, giving the okay to illegally spy on a whole bunch of people, including Kim.com, being prosecuted by a guy named Graham McCreedy, who's also prosecuting another guy who received donations from Kim.com but didn't declare it, who is incidentally also the Prime Minister's coalition partner in the government. This country's not corrupt, is it? No, bro. Nah, there's just no freaking way. You got to wake up, everybody. I mean, seriously, the country is run by criminals. Okay, if you have any illusions any whatsoever. Just accept the truth. The country is run by corrupt criminals. Anyway, and it's individuals rather than the institutions that wind up bringing these criminals that run the country to justice. People like Mr. Graham McCready. In fact, I really need to get that guy on the show. He sounds like an awesome character. Wellington District Court Deputy Registrar Kevin Conroy has acknowledged the informations. Quote, I now have to consider the matter of the issue of summonses under the provisions of the Summary Procedures Act 1957, he said. Okay, well, there we go. That's going to be good. Hopefully, the Prime Minister will actually go down on these particular charges. But the problem is, this happened quite a while ago. This was like back in a little bit before August. I think maybe July 23rd is when this article first came out. And it's since been announced, and yeah, I think this kind of speaks to my avenue of corruption here, that the it was 80 plus, I think it was 88 people who were being surveilled by the GCSB, the crazy 88, as Kill Bill would say. And, of course, Treasury, the New Zealand Police, and the GCSB, and everybody who's involved, and anybody who could actually wield any form of judicial power, has basically done nothing and said, we'll let you slide just this one millionth time. That's basically it. That's how this country works. It's so freaking corrupt. It's quite frustrating because all the judges are related as well. And I think we've got like 167 out of like 200 court justices or some ridiculous statistics who are like first cousins or whatever. What's his name? Vince Seymour exposed that. Kiwisfirst.co.nz. You can check out his website. He's probably still in jail at the moment for exposing, you guessed it, judicial corruption. They sent him to jail. Yeah, they're frackers. Fracking scum. It's evil. Moving on. This article out of the New Zealand Herald. Welfare cuts for almost 100 fugitives. Well, hold on a second. Are you telling me that there are fugitives from the law who are still receiving a benefit? I'm on the run from the government. Really, are you still receiving a check from the government that you can finance your run from them? Yeah, bro. That's classic. Nearly 100 beneficiaries on the run from police have had their welfare cut in the 6 weeks since the policy was introduced, Social Development Minister Paula Bennett said today. As part of the... Wait a second. This is assuming that they're actually on the run and simply not just wanted. Like, let's say you did commit a crime or whatever and you've got a warrant issued for your arrest. You didn't know that about that or anything like that. And let's say you didn't even commit the crime or whatever. They're just going to cut your benefit if you're even suspected of committing a crime. Let's read on. As part of the government's wide-ranging welfare reforms. Wide-ranging welfare reforms. Now, here's the thing. I agree with the tenets of welfare to a degree, right? Unfortunately, what it does to some people, not all, but some, is it stagnates them and stops them from actually trying to live their life and find a job and so on and so forth. A small section are like that, but that small section live on the dole for a long period of time without finding any work. And here's the thing. I don't believe in finding work either because I think that everybody should create their own way in the world and shouldn't have to be some kind of a slave and shouldn't be forced into working for some scumbag who they don't like because the government's threatening to cut their benefit off if they don't. It's a complicated issue, really. I mean, for the first year doing this radio show, I was doing the radio show with somebody else on AFR, and I was on the sickness benefit because I really, really couldn't work I said to the doctor, look, I'm really depressed and so on and so forth. And I really was. I was in deep trouble. And they gave me a year's worth of the sickness benefit. It was like $200 a week. It was a real struggle to survive. But at the end of that, I'd actually managed to build up a career base in that particular period of time, created a whole bunch of DVDs and gone out and developed connections within the dance party scene and so on and so forth, so that I didn't need that benefit anymore. All right? I spent that year making my own way in the world and then haven't needed them since. Okay? And I think that's a example of what somebody can do, bludging off government money over the course of a year with no checkups. They're capable of actually going out there and doing it. However, a lot of people are not like me in any way, shape, or form. And sure, I was entitled to that money, because I'm a New Zealand citizen, because I was not feeling too happy, right? Apparently, that's all it frickin' takes. And it actually shocked me at just how easy it was. All you had to do was be so down in the dumps that you could barely talk to a doctor without bursting into tears because the stress level is so frickin' high. That was what I was in the situation for, and they gave me the sickness benefit. Thank you. Thank you very much. And now I'm going to spend all of my time, my remaining years, fracking the government for all of the terrible things it does to everybody else. That'll teach them for helping me. A beneficiary on an outstanding arrest warrant for more than 28 days was given 10 days to clear the warrant. How exactly do you clear a warrant?
I don't know.
If they did not, they had their welfare cut, or up to half of it, if they were a parent with dependent children. Whoa, that's nasty, mate. Well, what are you going to do? Oh, we'll only cut off half of your living. You know, like, you'll only be able to pay half your rent and feed your kids half the amount of meals that they normally have if you've got a warrant issued for your arrest and you don't. Whoa. I was just thinking about that. How you treat the worst in society is a reflection upon what you are in the best of society. And this is just cruel. This is just blatant, like, double punishment. I mean, has anybody out there ever been arrested? Yeah? It fucking sucks, eh? It destroys your life. Just the consequences of being arrested alone. First of all, there's the amount of abuse the cops give you. They laugh at you and are basically just like schoolyard bullies, essentially. That's if they don't assault you. And probably they'll do it as well, even if they do. And on top of that, you've got to get some kind of court appearance, which is obviously during the middle of the day when you should be at work. You know, so you have to schedule your life around that. On top of that, you've got some kind of corrupt lawyer scumbag who you have to pay goodness knows how much money through the nose. And even if you don't pay him through the frickin' nose, you get some kind of legal aid lawyer that the bloody government pays for, who works for the Bar Association, who tries to get you convicted and on your way. You know, just dealing with that, the fear and the life on hold kind of thing, is a huge, huge punishment, whether or not you're guilty. That's what I found very interesting about it. Whether or not you are guilty, you get punished massively just through the rigmarole, just through the stress. And now this is just going to add on to it. Yeah, it doesn't sound like a very nice, caring thing to do, does it? You know, because the argument is, oh, well, they're criminals, you know, we shouldn't stick up for the rights of criminals or anything like that. They haven't been working and so on and so forth. You're just making it up, bro. You don't even know who this person is. There's no individual basis being constructed here. This is just simply a demonization technique designed to basically give justification to cut off government benefits to people who quite likely deserve them, just so that you can meet your quotas of such and such blah 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 World Bank conditionalities. All right, as part of the World Bank documents, reduce benefits, privatize the police force, privatize the military, privatize the water, privatize the prisons, privatize the electricity generators, everything. Okay, it's all in the World Bank documents. This is what they do. And first of all, you've got to make sure that the people you're attacking, first of all, are the kind of people that the majority of the population would just not stick up for. And sooner or later, they'll come for you. That's how it works. Arrest warrants just don't go away by themselves, Mrs. Bennett said. They have to be dealt with, and by prompting action through the benefit system, that's happening faster. So, when did the benefit system become an arm of the criminal justice system? Right now. Now, that means that anybody who's going through any kind of criminal prosecution or whatever and happens to be drawing some kind of benefit of any kind will have that used as an enforcement mechanism against them. So the government will literally be able to control your life under threat. Okay, so if somebody can say, I'm going to cut the amount of money you receive by half unless you do such and such, unless you plead guilty. Ah, see, there's an interesting thing. What if it would take you 2 years in order to prove in court that you're innocent? And the government cuts your benefit in half unless you plead guilty and go to jail so that your kids can at least still have the benefit and that the private prisons that the government has running at the moment will be able to keep their quota of prisoners. Government's actually done a contract deal, or at least this, I know that this is the case in the United States, it's probably the same case here, that they have to have a minimum amount of people crammed into prison in order to keep the private companies that are running those prisons happy. Incidentally, every prison and every army base, with the exception of a couple in New Zealand, have a self-contained fluoride system. Did you know that? Even if it's a fluoridated or non-fluoridated council in the local area, they have a self-contained fluoride system. Now, allegedly, and I haven't done the research in order to back this up, but allegedly, the gulags and the concentration camps, Russia and Germany, used fluoridated water, I think at about 6 parts per million, and they found that it calmed the prisoners, victims, quite significantly, that you could reduce the amount of guards that it took to normally keep control of them by, I think, between 25 and 75%, I forget which it was, if they could get rid of a quarter of the guards or three quarters of the guards in order to take care of them, but something along those lines. And this came up in a fluoride meeting the other day where it was asked about this particular phenomenon about the prisons and military bases in New Zealand being fluoridated. And it turns out there was this dude from NATO who goes around testing all the NATO bases' water supply levels and everything like that, making sure that all their NATO bases in Europe, where fluoridation of the water supply is illegal, are up to scratch. So they keep all the army bases overseas fluoridated as well. Maybe so the soldiers won't rise up. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Welcome back. Out the door. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Okay, continuing on with this this article here, welfare cuts for almost 100 fugitives. I think it's just the tip of the iceberg here. And I'm not defending the welfare state per se. All right, well, I think allegedly back in the... Oh, when did we first introduce welfare in New Zealand? I think it was like the early 1900s during the big stock market crash or something like that. You had a whole bunch of people that were in, deep trouble financially, couldn't you know, pay their rent, couldn't feed their kids and so on and so forth. So welfare came along and it prevented the breakdown of society, allegedly. And now... it's partly responsible for the breakdown of society. Isn't that interesting? I don't know. In the 6 weeks since the policy was implemented, 95 people have failed to turn themselves in and have lost their welfare payment. Ms. Bennett said the I remember a story the other day. Not the other day. I think it might have been even last year, of a guy who moved house. And he was asked to pay this fine for like a parking company or something like that. and they sent like 87 letters to his previous address. Didn't try one phone call, didn't try to locate him down, and it took them goodness knows how long, like over a year and a half or something like that, and then kept accruing even more payments over that year and a half. And then a journalist comes in, hires a private investigator. The private investigator finds the guy in about 7 seconds on one of the little databases that he's paid to be a part of. Who is this guy? Where does he live? There we are. And he's got his address, and he goes around and finds them and delivers this thing. So this is how ridiculously slow, stupid, and insane the government and other stupid, unthinking corporations can be. So I wonder how many of those 95 people who've lost their welfare payment had simply moved address, have done nothing nefarious or whatever. And now that they've got their welfare payment restricted, obviously they're probably going to go, what the heck is going on here? Now I suddenly can't feed my kids, and then go into a WINS office where they'll be arrested. Or perhaps on bogus charges. I wonder. Ms. Bennett said that... She's Ms. Bennett. You definitely think that anybody who would marry that would want to get the heck out of there pretty quickly. Ms. Bennett said the policy had also... That's really ad hominem of me, isn't it? Ms. Bennett said the policy also helped to clear 161 arrest warrants. In all, 311 people had been warned. She said taxpayers should not be subsidising people who were on the run from the police. What about the Prime Minister? What about people who are breaking electoral law? What about the people who implemented the Super City Protocol and violated the Local Government Act section whatever that said that there has to be a binding public poll on any local government merger acquisitions or things of that nature? Why should they have their benefits cut? Should they have their cheap air miles that they get as part of their ministerial salary? Should they have those cut? I think so. I mean, hey, I think this is actually a brilliant idea. Stop giving money to criminals. But then we'd have to fire 90% of the people who work for the frickin' government. You know how this works? It's very simple. Do as I say, not as I frickin' do. That's that. I think I've just encapsulated it quite well. The reform also allowed the police commissioner to request the immediate suspension of welfare payments to high-risk offenders. This sanction had been used 9 times. Incidentally, the same amount of time that Ferris Bueller didn't go to school in one semester. In the House, Labor's new social development spokeswoman, Sue Moroney, like Honey Moroney, questioned how the policy would help beneficiaries find jobs. Yeah, I'm going to cut your benefit because you're a wanted felon, and my chief concern is how you're going to find a job. Let's read on. Mrs. Bennett said government had to resolve a person's problems with police before it could deal with the person's employment status. Don't you think that maybe there's a connection here between having problems with police and not being in gainful employment? As far as I know, most people, you know, in fact, that's probably a broad just generalization, but most people who have a job and a steady income and are gainfully employed don't commit crimes in general. So, aren't you putting the horse before the cart here, the cart before the horse here, or whatever the fact that analogy is? I think so. Quote, currently they are breaking the laws, so we would clear up the legal problems that they've got. So we thought we would clear up the legal problems that they've got. Spelling mistake, New Zealand Herald. And then we'll work on the job. I like reading out mainstream media spelling mistakes. Like, not only did they dig this. I talked to somebody who's a former New Zealand Herald investigative reporter. They used to have, like, 95 investigative reporters that worked for them around 2000. Or a little bit earlier, might have been. And now or at least he told me this like three, four years ago, that they were down to five out of 95 investigative journalists. And now they're probably back to one, maybe none. Because most of the things that they actually report on are copy-paste articles from, say, Associated Press. Most of the world news, business news, technology news, entertainment, so on and so forth, all from Associated Press and other effectively massive controlled opposition media. Because they can't afford to pay anybody to do real news. A1, their sponsors, corporate sponsors, who advertise all over their website and their papers and so on and so forth, don't like real news because it threatens their business. You know? I just don't like mainstream media, I guess. Maybe I'm biased. Okay. There were around 15,000 outstanding arrest warrants at one time, and 8,000 of these people were on welfare. That just kind of proves my point. Don't you think, to a large degree, that if you don't have a job, you're far more likely to commit a crime? And 8,000 out of the 15,000 are on welfare. That's the majority, isn't it? Huh. How interesting. And by the numbers, 311 beneficiaries warned for having an arrest warrant for more than 28 days. 161 arrest warrants cleared, and 95 benefits cut, 9 of them high-risk offenders. Okay, so that means, what, 84? 86 people who were not high-risk offenders had their benefits cut. Hmm, I wonder how that works. How is this beneficial? And is like the ironic... They're trying to cut their benefits in order to be of benefit to something, like the criminal justice system. All right, so let me put it like this. They want everybody to basically be a convicted criminal, more or less. That's the thing. Because once you're a convicted criminal, you've got a hell of a lot less rights. You can be surveilled at any time you want. You know, there's parole and so on and so forth. You know, frackers can just check up on you and so on and so forth. And, of course, the private prison system, which needs prisoners to put in. And so the government's now cutting benefits of people who are out of their arrest warrant zone. And everybody just goes, oh, yeah, that's fine. They're criminals. You know, just take away their rights, take away their benefits, which they've been paying taxes for and are entitled to anyway. Because I'm not committing a crime. I'm not doing this, that, and the other. Well, mate, I'll tell you what. First they'll come for the criminals, then they'll come for the law-abiding citizens, and then there won't be anywhere to stand up for anybody to stand up for you, mate. Okay? We either hang together or we hang separate. Speaking of coming after the criminals... Here's a good article here out of the Huffington Post, the crime section, by John Michael, freelance writer and perpetual student. If you still think pot should be illegal, you are an a-hole. Yep. Can't agree with that a little bit more. Hey, look, every single person who I've ever spoken to in my entire life who wants to keep pot illegal has turned out to be an a-hole. All right. It's this guy has hit the frickin' nail on the head. He's on the money. Some will look at the title of this article and think that I'm baiting you into reading why you're actually for cannabis regulation, because you're really a decent human being. And while you'd be right, the truth is that I want this to be a real issue for you, because I'm not being facetious. You're not stiflingly overprotective. You're not a stiflingly overprotective mum if you don't want your kids taking drugs, legal or not. You're not a narc for wanting to keep money out of the black market. You're not a communist for being uneasy about the potential for big marijuana to join the bankroll of the inebriation lobby. But there are a slew of bellowing, ignorant statements that you make when you support cannabis prohibition. that you don't care about injustice, that you mindlessly repeat propaganda so easily debunked it belies the shallowness of either your intelligence or your integrity, that you are so adverse to admitting that you are wrong about something, regardless of how bigoted, short-sighted, and stupid it makes you look, you don't even care what your stubbornness is saying about you. Yeah. For one, if you think cannabis should remain a Schedule 1 drug, one for which there is no accepted medical use, then you are scientifically illiterate. Yeah. Think about the Rick Simpson oil, man. You can cure cancer, damn near any other thing that you want with it. It's brilliant. It could put half the medical industry, probably most of the medical industry, out of business tomorrow if it was in full production. And being prescribed by doctors. But no, it's a drug. It doesn't have any medical benefit. Not that you have to be a Nobel laureate to be known, to know what you're talking about, but if you've read enough to know what you're talking about, then you aren't talking about prohibition. If you don't think the Earth is younger than civilization, or that vaccines cause autism, or that chiropractic is real medicine, then you're already doing better than most people. But if you ignore the studies year after year after year after year, finding that responsible cannabis use not only shows no long-term damage to the body, but might even benefit it, you are kidding yourself. There is even quite a bit of evidence that suggests cannabis kills cancer cells. A lot of it. A lot of it. And if you didn't hear about that little girl whose severe epilepsy has only ever been alleviated by cannabis oil? Surely you heard about Sanjay Gupta's admission that he was wrong about medicinal pot. Who else has to come clean? A former Surgeon General? A three-fourths majority of doctors? You know? And they're all links to all of these articles here. And this is what I find so incredible about prohibition is that it's much like the fluoride debate in a lot of ways. There is no evidence whatsoever for the laws and the public mindset being the way it is. No evidence whatsoever in any freaking conceivable context of any freaking kind. No justification, no science, no evidence, no freaking way should this be happening. And yet it happens all the time. And in fact, I say that's about 90% of the laws. Maybe 99. Maybe all of the laws. There's no evidence to suggest that any of them actually freaking work. They're being done for a ridiculously nasty, despicable agenda and useful idiots like the general public. Not to offend any members of the general public who are listening now, but that is the reason why all of this scumbaggery throughout the entirety of society, from cannabis prohibition to forced fluoridation and so on and so forth, is going on, is because people ain't informed. They've been indoctrinated from day frickin' one. And they spend the rest of their time watching TV. I was just thinking about this. You know, you watch for 6 hours of TV a day, right? 8 hours of TV in America. What do you learn? How long did you used to spend in school or in work? You spent 8 hours a day at school or at work or whatever, and then spend 8 hours of TV. What did you learn more during? And the answer is you didn't learn anything at work, you didn't learn anything in school, and you didn't learn anything watching TV. So you're spending like 24 hours a day not learning nothing. That's society. No wonder if nothing makes sense to a reasonable and intelligent person, because reasonable and intelligent people ain't in control and aren't able to frickin' vote. You know? By the way, when I say they're not really able to vote, it means that there is no major voting representation for intelligent people who actually know what the frack is going on. There ain't no conspiracy theory party, is there? And even if there was, there'd only be like 12 or 15 people who would vote for it, because all the rest of the conspiracy theorists know that the political regime's so fracked up that you wouldn't want to vote for anything anyway, because nobody who was ever standing for any good ever get elected, because they've rigged all the frickin' elections with electronic voting machines and got all the black people bumped off the frickin' list so that all the other people can vote for George W. Bush. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Don't you go anywhere, folks. I have a million thoughts flowing through my mind.
black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise,
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. You're listening live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and I really appreciate that, ladies and gentlemen, because we want some more live listenerships from 5 till 7 Central Time, 3 till 5 Pacific, 6 till 8 Eastern, and 11 p.m. till 1 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time in the Uber Kingdom. And I really do appreciate all the people who stay up late listening to me, as well as in New Zealand, we have Ifinity FM making the show play, I think, around midnight till 2 a.m. 5 nights a week, which is quite nice, up late at night, sure you are. And also Rush FM in Hamilton, rushfm.co.nz. There are a number of stations around the North Island that play the Vinnie Eastwood Show about four nights a week, I think from Monday through Thursday. Don't play it on Friday nights for some reason. I think they play music in the morning. But yeah, please listen in live whenever you can. It's 5 days a week, Tuesday through Saturday in New Zealand. It's Monday through Friday in the United States. And of course, this is a listener-supported broadcast. So if you appreciate the articles being read out with a little bit of humor and the great guests and so on and so forth that we have, delivering some philosophy, some reality, some scumbag room, then please go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and subscribe for a couple of dollars a month. $5 a month would be lovely. I'd love to have 500 people. 500 people. That means you. To donate $5 a month, all right? If I got an income like that, I'll actually be able to support people, okay? Because I've met so many activists who need $20 here, $20 there, or a camera, or just a microphone, or just a little webcam, or something like that, so they can do their own media. And they're activists, you know. They're really abashed people, right? They're afraid to ask for help and support a lot of the time. I'm not. I'm pretty freaking shameless. So naturally, I see a lot of these people out there who, given a little bit of training and a few minor pieces of equipment, could start doing their own radio shows and their own YouTube channels and so on and so forth today. And that's really what I want to do. That's kind of my thing. Is to get the activists making their media for themselves, because they really do need to. The nation of New Zealand, as well as pretty much every nation on earth at this point, understand the fact that, well, activists are now the reporters. I really can't mince words here. Investigative journalists virtually no longer exist, and the only people who are doing what a credible journalist used to do are now termed activists and crazies and so on and so forth. You know, you talk to these people and they've got mountains of incredible information, gone through government documents, read the laws, break it down, downtown to Chinatown, right? Those people deserve their own radio show. Those people deserve their own YouTube videos and so on and so forth. I've been doing it by myself for them, because I've only been getting enough donations to provide myself with equipment that I need. I want to go bigger. I want to help the entirety of the activist community to the point where they will not need me anymore, so that I can do other things that are needed at this very point. If you have a look at alternative media worldwide, boy, does it need a lot of frickin' help and a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of attention. It really does. And there is no freaking way that all of these people out there who are very bashful, who are reasonably private people, are ever going to get the impetus to go out there and create all of these things that I've created by myself, by themselves. They need a little bit of a helping hand. Probably by somebody who's already done it 1,000 times over, like me. If you want that to happen, then I need you to support me. 500 people, $5 a month. It's not beyond the realms of possibility. There are 10,000 hits a month going just to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com alone. I've had over 2 million hits on the YouTube channel. I have more YouTube subscribers than the New Zealand Herald does by far, nearly double at this point. I am really kicking ass out there. Reason why I'm able to do that is because of your generous donations and support. I don't have a job because this is a full-time job. 10 hours a week on radio minimum, covering activists' protests, covering public meetings, which the media never, ever freaking attend. And even if they do attend, they reduce it to a soundbite. 4.5 seconds of dialogue. That is freaking shameful. When these meetings go on for 2 hours, I publish the whole 2 hour freaking thing. Edited. Multiple camera angles. Titles. To let you know who it is who's speaking. High quality sound. Decent freaking audio is absolutely essential. Do you get it? Do you see the importance of my job? Do you see that this is a hell of a lot more important than having some kind of a slave job? Working for frickin' scum who don't give a frack about anybody, least of all their customers? This is my very important work. This is my contribution to society, and it must be done. Because nobody else in New Zealand is doing it. So please, go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. There is a donate button there. There is a subscribe button there. There is a bank account there. If you want to start up an automatic payment into that bank account, that would be lovely. Go straight in there. I can use it directly. PayPal always takes a cut out of every single donation everybody sent me. If that's the only way you can send me a donation, hey, it's easy. It works. It's PayPal. You know, it's kind of beautiful how it works. Nice and simple. No messing around. Just get it done. 500 people, $5 a month. That's what I want. That means you. I need your help now. The activists need your help now. I will ensure that they get the help that they need, as I have been making sure of it with or without your help for the last 6 or 7 years. Okay? This is my mode of employment. I am trustworthy. I have been getting it done, and you will not find me lacking. Please do that. Please do that for me. Do that for the activists. Do that for all those censored voices from here and around the world who need help but are too afraid to ask. I will help them on your behalf. If you support me, by proxy, you support every conceivable point of view and activist and truth that you could possibly conceive of. This is what I do. And I've been doing it very well. Thank you. Now, getting back onto this cannabis article, after that round of shameless self-promotion, also our board op, Adam, needs some help as well, a lot of help. So, yeah, if you donate to me and say it's for Adam, just on the notes section or whatever through PayPal, I'll make sure that he gets that money as well, because American Freedom Radio doesn't run itself. Adam's running it all by himself. Just kind of hits me just how much work that is. Nobody's donating to him. Does anybody actually really even care about the continued survival of this network and my show and the shows of like a dozen other radio show hosts? Donate to Adam, please, for the love of God. He really needs it. Anyway, back on this cannabis article. You may think you're looking out for kids, and you wouldn't be totally wrong for, being against cannabis prohibition, but there's evidence to suggest that childhood use of cannabis increases the likelihood of psychosis and depression in kids that are predisposed to mental problems. Excuse me. And that would be a fair point if, under our current policies, cannabis hadn't become essentially ubiquitous across high schools. Yeah. In fact, I was just thinking about this the other day when I was like 14 in high school. My friends were like, they pretended to be gangs. Like they literally pretended to be gangs based on drugs. One of them was the chronic sign or whatever. They had their little freaking hand symbols or whatever. And the other one pretended to be a methamphetamine gang. It's like, whoa, hold on a second. Because I was just thinking about that now. Like when you're 14 and you've got such an affinity for drugs that you actually create a fake gang just for fun to emulate chronic and frickin' methamphetamine, that's really fracked up. And I don't think that would happen in a time where drugs are like kind of legal, but you can't get them until you're 18. Because I know all these kids that I went to school with, man, they were getting high pretty much every day. I put on a play, I think, when I was 19. It was like my first job was writing, directing, and producing my own freaking play. And one of them was so high at rehearsals, I had to fire his ass and get somebody else. You know? So this does happen, man. It's actually really quite sad to see what Prohibition is actually doing to kids. It's giving them access to drugs. Drug dealers don't freaking ask you for ID. You know? The kind of scum that sell to kids. Even when I was selling weed in university, I got busted for it. I served my freaking 300 hours community service. I never sold to kids though. You know, that was just something that was just so beneath me. It wasn't even funny. And this is what cannabis prohibition does, really, ladies and gentlemen. It damages the adults, damages the kids, and it misinforms everybody. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Everyone you know depends on it.
Women and children, front lines, log on, tune in, stand and be counted. Wounded station in the belly of the vulture. Watch your back, there's no civilians. Women, children, front lines, listen. Consider this a distant early warning. The fire's imminent, pollution gathering dust particles funneling through smokestacks, airwaves, bandwidth, disinformation too fed. Check the labels, delete the virus, alert the masses.